Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
You are listening to InSearch Radio, dedicated to providing inspirational and important content for you and your family. You can listen to our broadcast through our website at InSearch.com or pick up our podcast through iTunes. We encourage you to post your own story and to share our content with others.
It's coming. This year's largest evangelistic event on the planet, Harvest America with Greg Laurie. What did Christian leaders say about joining last year's event?
When I heard about Harvest America, I was actually listening to one of Pastor Greg's webcasts.
We were excited about doing something that was bigger than ourselves. You know, if there's anything that we can do to bring someone who's hurting and lost to faith in Jesus Christ, we want to be obedient to that.
Greg has such a gift of being able to communicate so clearly and effectively and gave an incredible invitation.
The response was incredible. People were excited.
Oh my gosh, people actually brought unsaved friends and family because look at the response. It was phenomenal.
About 30 people went forward for a first-time commitment to Jesus Christ.
We had well over 150 decisions for Christ.
We had over 200 people respond.
We had we filled the place. It's just jam-packed with people.
The whole idea of bringing an event like that to our area is something that's so desperately needed.
You have to be hiding in a closet somewhere not to realize how much America needs Jesus.
When Greg shared this vision with us, we were all in from the beginning because we want to reach our community for Christ.
It was a great mobilizing tool for the church.
It's all about the kingdom of God and how we can do kingdom work.
It's a special edition of A New Beginning with Pastor Greg Laurie today. We want to talk about Harvest America number 2 coming up in just a few months. Will your church be involved? Pastor Greg, tell us about this event.
Well, we're very excited, Dave. I mean, last year blew our mind. We were hoping for a success, but I have to say that what the Lord did was above and beyond what we had hoped for. We were hoping for 1,000 participating venues, in other words, people that would take the live video feed from the crusade into their church or arena or theater or even front room. And we ended up with 2,400 people taking the feed. And the combined audience of those that watched it live in real time or watched on the internet was over 300,000. This makes it one of the largest evangelistic events in American history. So we're doing it again this year, and quite honestly, we're hoping to even reach more people, and that's why we're talking about it now, because we're hoping that you'll talk to your pastor about doing a live HD video feed in your church and participating in Harvest America. And another very cool thing is we're moving the location, and we're going to a city that was once the capital of the United States of America, not Washington, D.C., but Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And, of course, Philadelphia is rich in American history and heritage. We've got the Liberty Bell. We have the Independence Hall. And so we thought, what better place to speak to our country than from this place that in many ways has been a capital of our country? And we're praying that through Harvest America this year that Philly will effectively be the spiritual capital as we remind America it's time to turn back to God.
Well, let's take one step back for just a second. We have new listeners joining us all the time. Maybe they're not familiar with that term, Harvest America.
Yeah.
Explain that.
I have no idea what it means.
Okay. Well, then we're all sunk.
Didn't you dream it up?
Wish I could take that credit for it.
Actually, what it is, well, you know, I think most of our listeners know what a Harvest Crusade is. If they don't, a Harvest Crusade is just basically an evangelistic event held in a stadium, in an arena, with cutting-edge Christian music and a message that I give where I bring the gospel in an understandable way and invite people to Christ. And so It was actually John Collins, who is our crusade director and a pastor at our church, Harvest, that came up with this idea of doing this simultaneously around the country. And so it came to be known as Harvest America. And basically the mission statement for it was one day, one church, one message. The idea being on one day we would all gather together and we would be one church. We wouldn't let minor issues divide us. We would pull together for what we have in common, that is our belief in the Word of God and the power of the gospel, and it would be one message, and that message would be the gospel. So this last time around, Harvest America emanated from Angel Stadium in Southern California, but this year it'll come from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, all around the United States.
Well, we should advise you to mark your calendar. It's 2 days this year, September 28th and 29th. It'll be at the Wells Fargo Center locally in Philadelphia, but hopefully you'll help us arrange to bring it to a church near you. Pastor Greg, this is a critically important time for an outreach like this. You know, our world is simply a mess. Mm. We've got elementary school kids being gunned down in their classrooms, mm-hmm. people calling evil good and good evil, Washington often more contributing to the problems rather than the solutions. Mm. How will Harvest America bring real hope to our country?
I think the way it will bring real hope is it's bringing us to our only real hope. Now, America, I don't think anyone would claim we're a Christian country per se. Can a country really be a Christian country? It seems that that would require everyone in it to believe in Jesus Christ. I've never heard of a country doing that. But I do think we would say that America has a Judeo-Christian foundation, and it was a country that had many Christians in it. It was a country that was a light to the world, and it is a country that has lost its way. A country that has strayed from God. Should it shock us when we teach our children in classrooms today that they're merely highly evolved animals, and yet we're shocked when they behave like animals? Here's what I think. We need to get back to the Bible. We need to get back to God. The only hope for America is a spiritual awakening. So the message to the church is, let's preach the gospel. The message to our country is, let's believe the gospel. Let's pray that the Lord sends a great awakening. And guess what? Dave, that awakening starts with you and it starts with me. So we all have to do our part. And now we're giving to all of our listeners a fantastic tool, a resource, to help them get the gospel out.
Now, this resource, this event that's coming up in late September, depends heavily on our listeners getting involved. Yeah. Explain how they can be involved.
It's really a grassroots effort. I mean, we're going to use all the media available to us, but we have found that the best way to get the word out is when one friend tells another. So here's how it works. It means that you would invite your friend, your coworker, your neighbor to come to the Harvest America event. Or if your church isn't participating, or maybe your friend doesn't want to go to church with you, you could say, well, listen, we're going to watch it at my house on TV because it will be broadcast on Christian television stations. Or you might say, okay, I'll tell you what, we're going to watch it on the computer or on the iPad or whatever. Or you could even just send them a link and say, watch this. And you could post a link on your Facebook page. Or you could tweet it out to people or send it to all of the people that are on your email list. But we found the best way to get people to participate is when someone they know invites them. It's relationship, you see. It's leveraging your relationships. You know, Jesus told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel, but the world's a big place. So let's localize it and say, go into all of your world and preach the gospel. Go to your sphere of influence. You have people that you know, people you talk to, people that listen to you. So here is a resource we're giving to you free of charge, just like the gospel itself, to use as a way to get your friends out to hear the message preached.
If a church leader is listening to us right now and wondering if this is something their church can be involved with, maybe they weren't involved last year, I'm thinking the first question that they're going to be asking is, you know, what is this going to cost?
Yeah.
What's your answer?
Well, there is a cost involved, but it's so little compared to what it is. Really, what they need to do is they need to obviously be able to receive the signal. And so we have a tech team in place that will help you get everything ready so you can get this message this evening into your church sanctuary for all of your people to be a part of, and we'll help you get the right equipment sorted out so it will have maximum impact. So when you stop and think about what the investment in renting that equipment or using equipment perhaps you may already have is, it's minor. I mean, if we were to do a crusade in your community, there's a certain price attached to that, because you have to rent a venue and all of the things that go with that. But this is so much more affordable. I mean, you want to talk about a cost-effective evangelistic event. Harvest America is it. And I've talked to many of my friends who are pastors, and I said, now be honest with me. Tell me where maybe it could be improved. And they've helped me, and I think this will even be better than it was last year. I think we're going to do everything we can to give you the best quality ministry production to show to your people where they will be challenged to commit their life to Jesus Christ. So I hope that we'll get more people involved. But having said that, I invited my friends who are pastors to tell me where the weaknesses were. I have to say, mostly, they just told me what the strengths were. They said, we could not believe how effective it was. We couldn't believe how people engaged with it. One pastor who was a little bit skeptical of using this technology of a live HD feed, thinking his people would watch it rather passively and not engage, said, man, it was like we were there at the event itself. Our people were totally into it. And, you know, think about it. If you've ever been to a church or any kind of a large event where there are video screens, what do you find yourself looking at most of the time? You know, the screens. Yeah. So people are used to looking at screens. They're used to getting content from screens. And so this works very well. But kind of coming back to the technology, the HD video feed does make a bit of a difference because it's so clear. Yeah. It's so sharp. We have the highest production values in this. We have amazing music, including Jeremy Camp, Mercy Me, Kirk Franklin, Lecrae, along with other artists. It's going to just look fantastic. But even more than the way it looks or sounds, it's the message of the gospel. And we are confident in the power of the gospel. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believes. So know this, the preacher, which happens to be me, and I'm thankful for this opportunity, believes in the power of the gospel. And when I get up to present it, I will preach it in a way, and I know God will honor it because his word does not return void. So let's pray for a great harvest, not only across the country, but a great harvest in your church, a great harvest in your front room. However you choose to take advantage of the Harvest America event, let's pray for tremendous spiritual fruit and many coming to Christ.
You know, evangelism is important to every balanced Bible-believing Christian church. It's the command of Jesus.
Yeah.
But most churches would probably admit that they could do more in reaching out to share Christ. And this gives them a powerful focal point for that effort because, for one thing, of all the resources that we provide that help them do this job well.
Yeah. You know, Dave, I find that as a pastor, I can tell our people, you know, go out there and share the gospel, but it's very helpful when you have sort of a special event.
Mm-hmm.
It functions as a catalyst. Okay, we're going to get involved in this event. We're going to train you to invite people to come to this event. We're going to start praying for people that are going to hear the gospel, sort of focusing on something instead of just saying rather generically, let's all go do this. No, let's do it on this day. And here's what I found. Once they rally around the event, those same people, especially those who have seen someone come to Christ, are more motivated than ever to do more. See, this could actually help your church, because if you have a Harvest America event there and many people come to Christ, you're going to find that your own congregants are going to want to go out and do more and reach more people in the days ahead because they've got a taste of what it is to be used by God.
Well, we're talking about Harvest America. It launches September 28th and 29th from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Here we are about 5 months ahead of time here in the month of April. How could I explore, let's say, bringing a Harvest America to my church? What are the steps I should be going through here 5 months ahead of time?
You know, Dave, I think the best answer to that is to go to our website, which is harvestamerica.com. Again, harvestamerica, one word, .com. That's sort of command central for everything related to this event. You can get downloadable images to post on your Facebook page or to tweet. You can get the latest things that you will want to know, things that pertain to the event itself. You can get links to setting it up in your church, so you can find out what some of the prayer needs are for Harvest America and network with other believers from around the country.
You know, as we look ahead to this event, we're looking for teammates who will not only help us on a grassroots basis in inviting friends and arranging for the event to be held in their church. But we're looking for teammates who will help us make this event possible. You know, this kind of outreach really stretches the resources that we have at our disposal here at Harvest.
It really does, Dave. But I have to say, and I've had a lot of experience in working with other organizations and evangelistic events as well as our own, I think this is the most cost-effective event I have ever seen anywhere. And I know that sounds like a self-serving statement because we're doing it. But I'm telling you, I think you want to talk about getting bang for the buck. What we are able to do with the resources that come in for this, the amount of people we are able to reach is absolutely staggering. So I really think this is one of the best investments of your money for the cause of preaching the gospel that you could make. So I hope people will keep that in mind, knowing that as we do this event and they invest in it, they share in the fruit of what the Lord is doing. Literally, you're laying up for yourself treasure in heaven.
Hmm. Well, prayer is also an important ingredient in this endeavor. We'll be asking our listeners to pray for this outreach as we move forward. But maybe we could pause right now and pray ourselves here that God would lead our efforts and go before us.
Amen. Let's do that. Father, we pray for our country, the United States of America. And we know that the answer for our country to turn it in the right direction is not a political one. We know it's a spiritual one. And you've told us in Scripture what we are to do. You've told us in 2 Chronicles 7:14 that this revival America needs starts with us. You've said, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. And Lord, as we're praying right now, maybe there are wicked ways we need to turn from. Maybe there are things we need to call what they are, a sin, and repent of. And then, Lord, that we need to keep praying for our nation, praying for our leadership, but praying that there would be a great spiritual awakening, that many will come into a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. Lord, you've told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel, but you've also told us to pray that the Lord of the harvest would send forth laborers into the harvest. So we're praying that right now, not just that you will send laborers, but that you will send us as laborers into the harvest. Use us, Lord, to be your instrument to tell others about you. So we commit this Harvest America event to you that will happen on September 29th in Philadelphia. We commit ourselves to you. We commit our churches to you. And we pray that you will work mightily and send a revival to America. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. You know, there's an important day coming up in just a few days on May the 2nd. It's the National Day of Prayer, Thursday, May 2nd.
That's right.
And you're the honorary chairperson for the National Day of Prayer this year.
Mm.
It would be such a great thing if our listeners could join us in prayer each day from now all the way through the National Day of Prayer, not only for our nation, but specifically for this event that is an outreach to our nation.
Yeah, that's right. And I'm honored to be the honorary chairman. It's really a great privilege. Many other wonderful people have done this before me. David Jeremiah did it last year, and my friend Franklin Graham has done it, and many others. And when Dr. Dobson contacted me, actually it was his wife Shirley, who has been heading up this effort for some time, asked me if I would be willing to do it. Boy, I just jumped at it because I thought, what a great privilege that is. And I'll be in Washington, D.C. I'll be speaking at the Pentagon and at multiple events related to the National Day of Prayer. And so I would really appreciate people's prayers, not just for us as we do this, but just for our country in general. And I think it's a great thing that we have a day where all of America will pray together for our nation.
And speaking of prayer, when you go to harvestamerica.com, be sure to take advantage of our prayer cloud. What is it? Well, it's a virtual prayer list where you can list the names of the people you're praying will find Christ through Harvest America. Put their names on the list, and then thousands of others will be praying along with you for that person. And then you reciprocate. Pray for those that you'll see have already been placed on the list. There's nothing more important than asking God to reach those people and touch their hearts. Again, that's their prayer cloud and prayer map at harvestamerica.com. You know, Pastor Greg, you and I are both friends with a man named Eric, an early contemporary Christian music artist.
Yeah.
In fact, he played and sang at my wedding, and you officiated.
Oh, yes.
And that was a long time ago. But even before that, in fact, it might have been before you were a pastor, you went over to Eric's house one day to pray for him because he was sick.
Yes.
What happened?
Yes, it's true, Dave. I went over to pray for my friend Eric, who was ill. And after I was done praying, he got worse. And he actually said to me, do me a favor and never pray for me to get better again. I thought, well, thanks a lot. So that didn't work out so well.
Well, speak to that dynamic, though. What happens, you know, in the realm of prayer when we pray for something and things go horribly wrong?
I think Eric probably needed to be sicker to teach him a lesson, not be so mean to people that pray for him. No, look, when I pray for people, especially if they're ill, I always pray that God will heal them, and I'll lay hold of those promises in Scripture about healing. However, I always add this, not our will, but yours be done. And some would say, well, that's a cop-out. Well, no, it's not a cop-out. It really is based on the prayer of our Lord, who, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, three times prayed, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. But then Jesus himself said to the Father, nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Never be afraid to commit an unknown future to a known God. And we should always say, Lord, I want your will above my own. And quite frankly, Dave, sometimes God will really use sickness in our life. The psalmist said, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I have kept your word. And by implication, he is saying that affliction helped him to keep God's word. You know, illness, affliction, sickness, it brings us to our knees. It brings us to God. It brings us to the end of ourselves. And is that really a bad thing? It's not that I want everyone to be sick, but I'm just saying that God can work through sickness. So we need to pray. We need to pray boldly. But then we need to always leave the ultimate results in the hands of God, who is sovereign and is in control.
Well, it's that kind of practical insight on prayer that we're going to make available this month to our listeners in the form of Andrew Murray's book called Living a Prayerful Life.
Yeah, that's right. You know, everybody who is building a library, and I hope all of you who are listening are building a good Christian library, and I would say no library is complete without some Andrew Murray books. In fact, when I was starting my library years ago, when I first began a ministry, some of the very first books that I got hold of were books by Andrew Murray, and a lot of those books were on the topic of prayer. Why? Because that was something he really wrote on a lot. He's sort of like a go-to guy on the topic of prayer. Great insights, but yet very practical, and I might add, very understandable. This is not going to be over anyone's head. But yet at the same time, it's rich, it's deep, and there's a lot of good material in all of his books, including the one that we're offering right now that is called Living a Prayerful Life. Here's some of the chapter titles. The Sin of Prayerlessness, The Cause of Prayerlessness, The Fight Against Prayerlessness. You know, I find one of the problems is not that we pray in an incorrect way, but rather we just don't pray at all. So let's just get started with praying. Even if your prayers aren't perfect or you don't feel they're eloquent enough, don't you know that prayer is effectively the movement of our heart toward God? And I don't think the Lord is sitting around, you know, grading our grammar or our sentence structure. He's listening to the heart. And so let's start by simply praying. So get hold of this classic book by Andrew Murray called Living a Prayerful Life.
All right, and we'll send a copy your way to thank you for your donation. You know, it's listener gifts that help make this study available. We have no other way to cover costs and bring you these teachings. So thank you for your help. And with whatever contribution you can make right now, please ask for Living a Prayerful Life. Our mailing address is A New Beginning, Box 4000, Riverside, California, 92514. Or call 1-800-821-3300, 1-800-821-3300. And you can take care of all the details online at harvest.org. And then, Pastor Greg, before we go, we ought to remind our listeners about your television program called GregLaurie.tv.
That's right, Dave. Every week you can see it. Sometimes we've recorded it at our church in Riverside or Orange County. Sometimes it's from one of the great stadiums where we hold a crusade. We do a lot of things on location, but it's on every week. And when I say on, you can watch it on demand by going to GregLaurie.tv. You can look at it on your computer, on your tablet device, on your smartphone, or you can find what station it's showing on in your area. This is seen internationally, so tell a friend and check it out.
You are listening to InSearch Radio, dedicated to providing inspirational and important content for you and your family. You can listen to our broadcast through our website at InSearch.com or pick up our podcast through iTunes. We encourage you to post your own story and to share our content with others.
This is John DeSalvo, and I want to tell you about an incredible product for your car called 5-Star Shine. Once you use this, you'll never have to wax your car again, and it will always look bright and clean. 5-Star Shine is the only paint protection system ever granted a U.S. patent and used by the U.S. Navy in the world's harshest marine environments. 5-Star Shine protects cars, trucks, SUVs, boats, and aircraft for years, and keeps them much cleaner between washes with a super slick coating. It also keeps your vehicles always looking their best. In addition to the world-famous 5-Star Shine paint protection system, 5-Star Shine also offers car dent removers, car scratch removers, products for removing ugly oil stains from driveways, and so much more. Check out their website and their products at 5starshine.com, and that's the number 5, 5starshine.com. Thank you, and God bless.
Enjoy the music of Christian singer and songwriter Terry Clark. Terry's music can be purchased on iTunes. This is his song, Thank You, Jesus.
I was so far away, as far as ever I could stray. But you were there to bring me back. Thank you, Jesus, for the grace that you have given us. We could never pay, but from my heart I'd like to say
you would like to get a cell phone plan with unlimited voice, data, and text for only $49 per month, please email Glenn Kennedy at glenn@nsearch.com. That's G-L-E-N-N at N as in Nancy, S-E-A-R-C-H.com, or contact him through nsearch.com. You can also click the cell phone banner at InSearch.com for more details on this special offer. If you are interested, you can also earn money through the company by simply referring others so they can save money too. This cell phone company is rewarding their users for referrals instead of spending their money on expensive television ads. You'll be saving money each month and supporting InSearch Radio in our efforts reaching others with our inspirational programming. Thank you for your support.
There is a war going on, a spiritual war. a war between truth and deception. Only one thing cuts through all the lies and opinions of man. It is the truth of an ancient book, the Bible. It is God's word, God's sword.
Oh, my brother, we are engaged in a war. There is a threat on our lives, we are staying in war. We are equipped to be followed and we survive.
First Samuel chapter 1. I don't care what anybody tries to sell you about the happy polygamist somewhere. I bet there's a happy polygamist man. You know, there's a happy polygamist. But there's not a whole bunch of happy sister wives. It's an illusion. It is people settling, trying to make the best of something really painful, trying to comfort each other. And it is not natural. And Hannah and Penina, they have an adversarial relationship. You guys will remember another couple, Rachel and Leah, and they did likewise. And the names of every single one of their kids, they become the patriarchs. The 12 patriarchs all bear the names indicative of the strife, the adversary between Rachel and Leah. Brokenhearted ladies, in a situation that is absolutely unnatural, outside the will of God, trying to be loved by the same man. Trying to be the life-producing woman for that man. Now, verse 6, her adversary also provoked her. Now, exactly how she did that, we don't know, but I'm sure it involved words, looks, subtleties. Come on, ladies, you know how to do this. You know how to provoke, and you can be really creative about it. I don't think guys are anywhere near as cunning at this stuff. Women can do it. A woman can actually provoke with a compliment. I've seen it. Or a patronizing sort of, like, nickname, like, honey. And it actually be very cutting. I've seen this. I'm not saying where. I'm just saying I've seen it. I can only imagine the kind of things that Penina was doing, but she provoked her because the Lord had shut up her womb. Verse 7. And as he did so year by year, she went up to the house of the Lord, and so she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. You know what it's like to be so provoked, to be so hurt. You got no comeback. You can't do anything. Somebody is probably patronizing you now and there. Now, dear, honey, it's okay. I'm making enough children for him to be happy. You don't have to worry about his happiness. She's provoked. The poor thing is she can't even eat. She wept and did not eat. That's what she does at the house of the Lord at Shiloh. She goes to the tabernacle to cry. Everybody else goes there to feast and to celebrate. She goes to cry, and she can't eat. Check out Elkanah. Oh, this guy, so typical of a male. Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? And that just so honestly, come on, what are you crying about? What are you weeping for? After all, you've got me. And that's what he says. Why weepest thou? Why eatest thou not? He cannot understand. Men have problems, really. Y'all know that? And understanding is one of them. Understanding the deep, deep needs that God put in the heart of a woman. And the deep desire to have meaning, fulfillment to her life. And the man is like, come on. You've got me. He says this. He goes, why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? Will you please note, there's no answer from her to that stupid question. And by the way, she doesn't have him. She got half of him. Right? Am I not better to thee than 10 sons? He thinks highly of himself, I say. better than 10 sons to a childless woman? Elkanah, I think not. So if your wife looks at you in the near future and says, thank you, Elkanah, it's probably not a compliment. It's probably because you missed it, as men often do. You missed it. Can you just see this guy honestly? His lame attempt at comfort in this polygamous situation. Come on. You got me. What have you got to cry about? Why are you not eating? Why do you grieve? I don't understand it. After all I've given, after all you've got me, lucky you. I am better, am I not, better than 10 sons? And at some point, I'm sure she wants to go, no! No! Give me the 10 sons and leave me. All you have is his stupid question. Am I not better to thee than 10 sons? And the next line is, so Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. So Hannah rose up. That is, you know, he comes with a stupid question, and her answer is, I gotta go pray. I gotta go talk to God. Now, ladies, learn from Hannah. Go talk to God. He always understands. You think as a woman, wouldn't you? I mean, this like deep empathy I seem to have. I'm as stupid as every other man. But I've read stuff. You got to go talk to God. I know that my wife has had her frustrations. You can imagine. And she's learned that she can talk to God. Matter of fact, she has learned that she can talk to God. And God can take me to the woodshed. If she tries to take me to the woodshed, it doesn't work. She's kind of wimpy. I don't, you know, she, honestly, she is, her best attempts at slapping me around, so to speak, have never been anywhere near as painful as the Lord, whom she went and complained to, talked to, and took me to the woodshed. And he comforts her. He meets her. Ladies, do what Hannah did. You married to Elkanah. One way or another, you all who are married are married to Elkanah. Ultimately, there's a little Elkanah in every man. Clueless, stupid, insensitive, but you got the Lord. Hannah, she went to the Lord. Again, Elkanah's question is followed up, verse 9, so Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now, Eli the priest, he sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. She was in bitterness of soul. I bet she was, especially after Elkanah's attempt at comfort. She's in bitterness of soul. And she prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. I guarantee you, his words keep replaying, aren't I better than 10 sons? She's like, I mean, wouldn't that make you want to cry? Imagine your husband coming to you going, what do you got to cry about? Come on. Cries like me? You ought to just be grateful. I mean, that is the attitude of Elkanah. You really ought to just be grateful. But you have me. Stop you crying. She's in bitterness of soul. And she prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And, verse 11 says, she bowed a vow and said, I'm the Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid. Look how many times she calls herself God's slave. God, I'm your slave. And if you will give unto your handmaid a man child, not just a child, she wants a son, and she calls him a man child. I like Hannah. You'll give me a man child, and I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. There shall no razor come upon his head. Now, remember the last time that happened, it didn't work out all that awesome. Remember? Last time, a mother committed that her son would never, he would be a Nazarite, no razor. Now, what was the deal with the Nazarite? Two things were prohibited from the Nazarite. What were they? No razor and?
Wine.
No rot. Yes, no dead animal and no fermented wine. No razor, no rot. Hannah has made this vow to the Lord. He's got to give her a man-child. To be a Nazarite. She'll give him back to the Lord. She'll give him to the Lord. And when you stop and think about it for just a minute, and she's like, if only life could come from me. It's not like she's got a, like she has to have it. Hannah's now like trying to get her need met through her children. You understand this? The implication of Hannah's vow is that if I could just serve you, if I'm your slave, God, if I could just let a son be conceived in me, give me a son, I'll give him to you. No razor shall touch his head. He'll be set apart. He will be Nazir. Nazarite, separated, consecrated. Verse 12 came to pass, this poor lady, not only does she have a husband that doesn't understand her, she goes to the pastor, and he's worse. Came to pass that as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli, he marked her mouth. He took note that she's over there, moving her lips and no sound's coming out. He jumps to the conclusion, I got another drunk at church. He goes over there to rebuke her. Now Hannah, verse 13 says, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli thought she'd been drunken. Oh, that's kind of a big leap, if you ask me. I just, you know, honestly, you got to go, Eli, you're terrible. As pastor. He just comes to the conclusion. Yeah, that's what drunk people do. They come into church and they just move their mouths and no sound comes out. He's not very understanding. He's not a deeply spiritual man. He really isn't. He's done a horrible job of parenting. You'll see that as we go on the story about Eli and his sons. So verse 14, Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. The poor girl. Doesn't your heart just break for Hannah? She goes to the house of the Lord. She goes there because she's got to get away from Elkanah. Got to get away from that guy and his comfort. His comfort's killing her. She goes to get with God, and there she is pouring out her soul in such a depth of anguish. No sound's coming out. Just her lips moving. Next thing you know, she got ushers tapping her on the shoulder. Escort her out, because she's going to make a scene. Eli. Well, Eli's kind of messed up, because he's surrounded by corruption. His sons, Hophni and Phinehas, they're always drunk, and they're always engaged in immorality. So he's kind of maybe got a little bit of a hair trigger here. He hasn't dealt with them, but he's real confrontational with a woman. Put away your wine from me. And Hannah, verse 15, she answered and said, no, my Lord. I'm a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I've drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial. Okay, can we pause for a moment and take note that Hannah speaks of a woman who lives in drunkenness as a waste. When she uses the term, daughter of Belial, please don't think of me like that. I'm not that kind of a woman. A waste, daughter of Belial. The biblical expression, a son of Belial. This is what some of us have been. Our past was one big waste. Hannah rightfully refers to what Eli's thinking as a tragic waste, a waste of life. Someone drunk, someone intoxicated in a stupor, someone who has done that to themselves. And she goes, please don't think of me like that. I'm not a daughter of Belial. I'm not that kind of waste. Count not thine handmaid, verse 16, for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Eli answered and said, go in peace. No doubt Eli's feeling bad about his assumption. He says, go in peace. Check this out. For out of the, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. Guys, despite Eli's flaws, he is the priest of the Lord. And in that office, he has this capacity to represent God to people. He has that capacity as a priest. I'd like to remind you of that very important biblical concept, that very important doctrine of the Protestant Reformation. That is the priesthood of all the saints. There is no special category in the New Testament, biblically speaking, of clergy versus laity. You clear on that? But God wants to use every one of us, that we are a whole, we're a nation of priests, priestesses. You happen to be a woman. We are commissioned to represent God to people. And we're commissioned to represent people to God in prayer. And there is a sense in which we can function in the same capacity where we can actually allow God to speak for us. The New Testament speaks about that, calls it prophecy. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 14, the Apostle Paul, speaking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, talks about the Lord being able to speak through us. And he wants to do that. Apostle Paul said to the church at Corinth, he said, you know, as far as speaking in tongues, that's great. In fact, he goes, I speak in tongues more than all of you. But I'll tell you something. He goes, I would rather speak five words that you're going to understand that will benefit you than thousands of words in a language you don't know. He said, seek the gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Especially that God might actually speak through you to somebody else. That God might use you. That you might find yourself sensitive enough to the Holy Spirit's leading to just say what God puts in your heart to say, and find, you guys have all had it happen to you. You're Christian. You know why? Because somebody was used by the Lord to speak to you, delivering to you the gospel. Somebody said the magic words to you and said, you know what? You're in deep trouble with God, and you need a Savior. And you're like, whoa. And the ring of truth happened, right? In the deep part of your spirit, you're like, whoa, wow, that's, man, what do I do? And part of you at some point said, what do I got to do? What must I do to be saved? You want God to use you the same way. We need to be available. I'm just saying, Eli, flawed as he is in his ministry, has still the capacity for God to speak through him, and he does. He speaks for God to Hannah, and he said, God grant your request. God of Israel, grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. All right, verse 18. Look at this. She said, let thy handmaid find grace in thy sight. That is favor, please. Let me find favor. So the woman went away and did eat. And her countenance was no more sad. The message from God, even through Eli, brought peace to her heart. She's no longer troubled. No longer. Think about all she's got to be sad about. Think about how broken her heart has been. But those words, God of Israel, grant your petition. Go in peace. Oh, man. You know, the old Pentecostal saints use an expression I've often referred to. They talk about praying through. You know, and it is that that phenomenon that I wish for all of you to, where you've had trouble in your soul, where you've had trials, some anguish, some question, whatever it was, and you just grabbed onto the horns of the altar, so to speak, it would not, you're like Jacob at Chabot, holding on to the angel, going, I'm not going to let you go till you bless me. You lock on to the Lord in prayer, and you persist in prayer, to where you finally have a peace in your heart that God has heard you. Have you ever had that? Have you ever had that experience where you're like, man, I know the Lord heard my prayer. Come on, we've all had plenty of experiences where we prayed. We cried out to the Lord and hoped that God heard our prayer. But I hope for all of you that at some point or another you knew somehow God spoke to you and just let you know. And you had peace. I wish that for all of you. I've had situations in my life that went on for years that I prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and agonized over. Have it answered in one day. Where the Lord would just, all of a sudden, somehow or not, he just speaks to you and goes, I've heard you. He did that with me. With regard to my lack of a son. Gave me a son. In my old age. The Lord, it was in one of those deals where God I'm just talking to the Lord. And he spoke to me. He just said, ask me for a son right now. I want to go, I've been doing that for years. And he goes, no, right now. And I said, will you? And he goes, yes. I mean, he spoke to my heart. In a way, and he just gave me a peace. And that was it. I didn't have to do anything. I didn't have to make nothing happen. It just all worked out. And I mean, immediately. Come on, have you ever had anything like that where you could actually go in peace and you know that God has spoken to you? I say again, I wish that for all of you. And that is possible for you. But the thing the Lord Jesus taught on prayer was that people should persist. They should not faint. Don't give up. That you pray through. I'm telling you, Hannah did this. This went on for years. Finally, Hannah has peace in her heart. She can go home and eat. It's the only hard part is in verse 19. He rose up in the morning early, worshipped before the Lord, and returned, and came there to the house, to their house at Ramah. And Elkanah knew, you guys know what that means, you're grown-ups. In the biblical sense of the word, they did the marriage deed, and he knew his wife, and the Lord remembered her. The Lord remembered her. That's the deal. Fulfilling her obligation, even in this situation, where she's sharing a husband, it says the Lord remembered her. Remember, notice how earlier it said the Lord had shut up her womb. I don't know any other way to handle that except that because it's repeated, God is the one who prevented conception. It was God working in the situation. And so ultimately, listen, a certain amount of Hannah's pain was because of the Lord. And God used Hannah's pain to draw Hannah to him. I don't know if you can handle that, what I just said. God does certain things in our lives. And there are things in our life that we wish they were not the way they are. But God uses them to draw us to him. God uses our pain and our anguish, our bitterness of soul, in the right way. Listen, I mean, what are you going to do? Here's the deal. You got pain, anguish. You're going to go one way or the other with that. You're going to either go toward the Lord or farther from him. And I don't know how that works. I mean, the old saying, the same sun that melts ice hardens clay. I look at Hannah, and I say that the Lord shut up her womb, and the Lord was ultimately drawing her to him and making the story possible where she could pour out her anguish to him, and he remembered her. He did. Verse 20. Before it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, she bare a son. He called his name Samuel. It is Samuel. Asked of the Lord, requested of the Lord. It's that sort of a theme. Saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. And the man of Cana and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up. For she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child is weaned. And I'll bring him, that he may appear before the Lord and there abide forever. Will you guys, all you moms, for just a minute, just put yourself in Hannah's place. They got this, you know, the family tradition, going up to worship. Hannah has actually worshipped more truly, more and deeper, more in a purer sense, I think, than Elkanah, Hanina, and that whole big clan. And when the time comes, on this occasion, she goes, no, not going. It's not that she didn't want to worship, but that she was saving up her worship. She has a mission right now, and it is weaning this little child. That is a bigger deal than just, you know, getting him to where he's no longer depending upon the herb or the food or the press. But weaning him. Want to make this, her whole focus was her little guy she named Samuel. Making him independent. Teaching him to walk. Teaching him how to feed himself. That's a big job.
God's Sword is a production of Calvary Chapel in Central Maine, located at 154 River Road in Orrington. If you have any questions, comments, or need prayer, please contact us at 207-991-9555, or you can email us at info@ccbangor.org. If you're in the Central Maine area, you can listen to God's Word daily on WJCX 99.5 at 9 a.m. and again at 5 p.m. You can also check out our online teaching and available resources or make a donation to help support God's Word at www.ccbangor.org.
You are listening to InSearch Radio, dedicated to providing inspirational and important content for you and your family. You can listen to our broadcast through our website at InSearch.com or pick up our podcast through iTunes. We encourage you to post your own story and to share our content with others.
This is John DeSalvo, and I want to tell you about an incredible product for your car called 5-Star Shine. Once you use this, you'll never have to wax your car again, and it will always look bright and clean. 5-Star Shine is the only paint protection system ever granted a U.S. patent and used by the U.S. Navy in the world's harshest marine environments. 5-Star Shine protects cars, trucks, SUVs, boats, and aircraft for years, and keeps them much cleaner between washes with a super slick coating. It also keeps your vehicles always looking their best. In addition to the world-famous 5-Star Shine paint protection system, 5-Star Shine also offers car dent removers, car scratch removers, products for removing ugly oil stains from driveways, and so much more. Check out their website and their products at 5starshine.com, and that's the number 5, 5starshine.com. Thank you, and God bless.
Enjoy the music of Christian singer and songwriter Terry Clark. Terry's music can be purchased on iTunes. This is his song, Thank You, Jesus.
I was so far away, as far as ever I could stray. But you were there to bring me back.
If you would like to get a cell phone plan with unlimited voice, data, and text for only $49 per month, please email Glenn Kennedy at glenn@insearch.com. That's G-L-E-N-N at N as in Nancy, S-E-A-R-C-H.com, or contact him through msearch.com. You can also click the cell phone banner at msearch.com for more details on this special offer. If you are interested, you can also earn money through the company by simply referring others so they can save money too. This cell phone company is rewarding their users for referrals instead of spending their money on expensive television ads. You'll be saving money each month and supporting InSearch Radio and our efforts, reaching others with our inspirational programming. Thank you for your support.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.